one of the things we talk about on the Catholic Man Show quite a bit is about how, in fact, we just had this conversation with Cy Kellett in a recent episode about when we talk about Jesus to other people, that a lot of it has to do with your demeanor and just how you live and the joy that you have, like just an internal joy that you have. And it exudes out to other people. Like, people can just tell, like, man, this person is a joyful person. This person is very happy with life.
Yeah.
And that opens a lot of doors into being able to talk actually about Jesus in not a weird way, right?
Yeah. Because it can go weird.
It can get weird.
It can take a trip down the weird road.
And one of the I had an instance like that today.
The weird road?
No.
The not weird road.
The not weird road. But it wasn't because of anything that I did. It was something that your daughter did.
Oh.
So I want to give both props to Lady Pamela and yourself for raising good, joyful children. I had the opportunity to take Miss Mary to breakfast this morning. And she's my goddaughter.
Her baptism day.
Today's her baptism day. So I went and took her out for breakfast.
Which is a great idea for godparents to do. Like,
to do, yeah.
To do, yeah.
To be able to help celebrate, you know.
Especially on their baptism day.
And we went out and she was just a joy to everybody around her. From the waitress to the cook to the guy who was sitting at the table next to us. She just was incredibly joyful, very just, I'm just so glad to be here and I'm so happy to be around you guys. And she had multiple compliments. They all thought that she was my daughter, you know, being that,
right.
Being that, you know, I was with her having out dinner. I was like, yeah, we raised her very well. took all the credit. No. But there was just a natural happiness that she carried. And even in the conversation that I had with her today, what, you know, just talking about the things that she does in her day-to-day life and how, you know, there's times in which, you know, I have a watch and I share it with Bernadette, and this week I get it and the next week Bernadette gets it, so she can have a chance to share a watch because she doesn't have a watch. And then Elizabeth didn't have a watch either, but we didn't make the deal with Elizabeth at the time, so Elizabeth actually gets it every other Tuesday.
What? Is this what she said?
Yeah, this is what she says. but she was just very aware of her surroundings and the people that she was interacting with.
Yeah.
And incredibly intentional with just, obviously she's not, she doesn't really, this is just how she was raised and like who she is as a person. But she was very aware of interacting with the people around her. And that says something very much for a young girl, you know, to be able to have that confidence and the joy to be able to look an adult in the eyes and talk to them and be polite to them and even ask them about, take interest in what they were doing and how they were doing and what are you doing for Christmas? And, you know, just interacting with adults as a child, like that is something that you has to be taught. And so, you know, I don't like to give a lot of props to you, so I'm not going to. I'm going to say Lady Pamela is doing a fantastic job.
She is doing a fantastic job.
And it was such a delight to be able to take her out for breakfast this morning.
Nice.
And it was very impactful for me just to see her situational awareness of other people and the limited, this is how saints are made, right? That you don't get long contact with a lot of people throughout your day.
Sure.
There are people that you will see in passing very fast.
Mm-hmm.
You may only interact with this person for 5 seconds in your whole life, and then hopefully you will see them in heaven afterwards.
Right.
And so,
what do you do with those 5 seconds?
What do you do with those 5 seconds? And I was just very aware of how she capitalized on
those minutes. That's why living a joyful life is, like you mentioned, so critical for spreading the gospel. Because if you get 5 seconds like once a day, well, that's nothing. But if somebody, you know, after years of having 5 seconds a day thinks, every time I see him, you know, even though I know he just came out of a bad meeting,
mm-hmm.
you know, like he's a joyful person, mm-hmm. you know, that has this wave upon the shore effect of, you know, slowly saying something. It says something.
And it says that you're rooted in not something that is finite, that the joy that you find is something that is... It
goes beyond, it transcends.
It transcends.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what happens in your day-to-day mm-hmm. life, because I find the joy and the love, the beatitude of Jesus.
Right. I don't need good things to happen to me.
Right.
That's not the source of my joy.
Right.
Right.
So it was something that I was like, okay, good. I'm going to be a good godfather. I'm going to take my goddaughter out for, you know, her baptism day.
So proud of myself.
I'm so awesome. And then the whole time I'm sitting there experiencing the time that I had with her.
She really is a delightful young lady. Also, she has this incredible ability to just like know how things ought to be done. Mm-hmm. She, I don't know, like in the kitchen, like one day she just, nobody taught her how to do this. She just like thought to herself, I think I can make homemade Pop-Tarts. And she does. She makes them all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
She never had a recipe.
Right.
She still doesn't use a recipe. She just like makes dough because she says, well, it ought to have some flour and some whatever. And she just kind of like, I think maybe about this much. You know, she's like that with everything. Like yeah. to the point where like you might as an adult go to her at 9 years old and say, Mary, how do you think we ought to proceed
right.
from here?
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know. I think maybe this way. And you're like, that's brilliant. I'm going to take that.
Yeah. Yeah. The other day she like showed up with a stocking cap that she crocheted.
Oh, dude, she makes stuff like crazy.
And it looked like something that you'd find at the store.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she's amazing. And I mean, all the girls, they the production, like in their free time, Elizabeth is over there running the sewing machine. Mary is like, I mean, it's like, it's Little House on the Prairie around here, bro.
Yeah. And it's
except for the sewing machine.
It's very, yeah, because they wouldn't have that.
Yeah, probably.
So anyway.
Thank you for the compliment. I'm glad that you guys maybe spread the gospel a little bit
yeah.
at breakfast.
You know what else was funny?
Huh.
Is that as we were sitting there, we were at this little diner in downtown Broken Arrow, and they actually have a little drive-thru as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the drive-thru pulls up, and our buddy Sean Wyatt.
No kidding.
Was in the drive-thru. And he like looks in and he sees me. He's like, what are you doing here? And I said, oh, it's Mary's baptism day. And so we're celebrating. And so, of course, the whole diner
got to hear. It's her baptism day.
It's her baptism day. So it's just also just really cool that played out that way.
Yeah. The Lord is funny.
So
he really is funny.
Yes. Gives us opportunities all the time. And all the times that he gives us are a gift. And we can use them for mm-hmm. his greater good or to his, you know, yeah, for our detriment.
I mean, I was going to ask if this ever happened to you. I'm just sure it's happened to you. It's happened to everybody, I think, where you feel like you should say something to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like maybe you don't know them or, you know, whatever. And you're like, I don't know, maybe. And you don't. And it passes. And then you realize, like, that was it. That was the Holy Spirit telling me, say it.
Yes.
And you don't. I mean, like... I'm sure that's happened to you.
Of course.
It's happened to me many times.
Yes.
I was,
should have done that.
Those moments, they haunt me, you know?
Same here.
Because who knows what...
That could have done.
Because I've had other times where people came up to me where I didn't feel that way, you know, just... But someone came up to me and said, you know, one time you said something.
Mm-hmm.
And I have thought about that for the rest of my, you know, like... And to me, it's just a regular... It wasn't a profound... But
right.
But that wasn't the point that it was profound. The Lord just used it,
mm-hmm.
you know? But we have to be willing to speak to, I mean, well, he can use, you know, as John the Baptist said, he can raise up children from Abraham from these stones, right? So he can find a way, but he wants us to be that way. He wants us. He wants to use us, right? And mm-hmm. so being willing.
It was really cool.
Say it, yeah. Say what you need to say, bro.
In fact, I was in a business meeting today, and one of the guys so I was in a business meeting with a couple of my kind of business partners and friends. And there was a guy that they hadn't seen for 10 years, and he was at the office, and they were kind of just reminiscing. And of course, I wasn't a part of the,
you didn't know him,
the time period that they were reminiscing about. But he said something. He said, "You know, Chris, there's something that you told me like 10 years ago, and it's always stuck with me." And Chris was like, "Uh oh, like,
is it safe to say?"
Like, yeah, he's like, "Uh oh," and the quote really doesn't matter. I mean, he just basically said something like, "You know, we can't, all we can do is for a customer is take away the unknown, take as many of the unknowns away to project the good." And he said, like, I've held on to that for those 10 years. And you said it kind of as an offhand comment, like, you know, just kind of a throwaway line. And I really have used that in my sales through my career selling.
That's a good line.
That, you know, As somebody, like, as I, if I'm selling something to a customer, what I have to do is take away the minimize the unknowns, you know, to order towards the good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was just like, it was very providential today that, you know, I had breakfast with Mary and the things that she did, and then like the effects that carried over into the topics that we talked about, even in the business world today. Anyway, it was very cool. It was a lot of growth for me today.
Praise God.
Through a little 9-year-old.
Praise God.
Is she 9?
She's 9.
She's 9, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. One question I get asked a lot is, how old are your kids? Whenever I get this question, it's like, well, you know.
Well, how dare you, first of all?
I have
a lot.
Kind of a lot of them. And the truth is, like, I don't know. I don't know how old they are.
Typically what happens for me is I get it right and I have it memorized, and then birthdays happen.
Okay, we have a birthday every other month.
That's really tough.
So it's like, I need a personal assistant.
Yes.
Just to keep up with that. How is a man expected to keep up with that kind of data?
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT, that is a great idea. I could program my ChatGPT to say, I like have a code word I say to chat, and whenever I say, it responds. Do you think it could like do an impersonation of me? Do you think I could train it to like try to do my voice? I don't think it'll do that. Yet. Not yet.
Not yet. Dude, you have enough voiceovers through the internet that it probably could come pretty close.
Well, it could, but I don't think ChatGPT will. I think it says, I'm sure it would say, I'm not allowed to impersonate other people.
Right.
Because I'm not allowed to have fun. I'm just kidding.
So
I appreciate the ethical guidelines when it comes to
the minimal guidelines that are in place.
I actually think they've gotten stricter over the last year. I think that it won't do things that it used to do.
That's
when it comes to like editing photos.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to get it to edit photos sometimes.
That's
even
good.
If it's just to be funny.
Yeah.
You know?
It's good.
I think that is good.
We're sipping on a little bit of Willett bourbon this evening.
Yes.
Which is a delicious bourbon with a beautiful decanter.
It's very I Dream of Jeannie, the bottle.
In fact, Lady Haley said, oh, you're taking that? And I was like, yes, I bought it for the Catholic, you know, to have on the Catholic Metro. She's like, okay, well, will you please bring
she
it
want,
back?
Does she want it as a vase?
She just likes it up on the shelf because it looks pretty.
Lady Pamela would 100% use this as a flower vase.
So she wants, yes. So I have to take that back.
Okay.
It's a delicious whiskey.
It is. You know what? This is to me is like classic bourbon.
Love
this
it.
Is like sort of what I think a bourbon ought to taste like. You know, it's very. How much does it cost?
Probably 60 or 70 bucks.
Yeah, because I was thinking like it's more expensive for, you know, a bourbon.
Yeah.
That's not overpriced though. I don't feel like.
I feel like it's.
Because honestly, the bottle you get. The bottle is cool.
Right.
And it is nice. I mean, it's a.
It's a good one to break out with a group of men to say, like, this is a special occasion.
I really like pouring it. It's got this long, skinny hand, like, top.
Mm-hmm.
And I like pouring it out of there. It pours nicely.
It does.
Which is weird. It's a weird thing to say.
But it's true.
Having done it, it was like, you know,
sometimes
what?
Truth is weird to say.
I liked that. Liked it. I'm here for it, actually.
So, yeah.
Kind of slaps.
Okay.
I realized I've been using that word too much on the show. I don't actually use it that much in my whole life. Apparently on the show, it's become my go-to.
Really?
Sort of.
Did somebody give you that comment?
I'm just monitoring myself.
Nice.
Which is something I'm working on.
That is definitely growth.
Just self-regulation.
That is growth.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard, but...
That is maturing.
Here we are.
In front of all of us.
Just, yeah, for everyone to see.
We're here.
How slow it's going.
we're almost 10 years in.
Anyway, what are we talking about today?
So I want to talk about, as we reflect upon the year, as we reflect upon what 2026 is going to bring us, and who we want to be as men, I want to talk about kind of like, maybe, I hate to say the like New Year's resolutions because that is just such a, I don't know. It's just a term.
It's a little bit cliche, but it isn't really. I think it's a good thing to do. I think the problem with New Year's resolutions is that people will make these resolutions that they're just not going to keep. They know they're not going to keep them.
Yeah.
And it's just not helpful. And it's sort of like, it becomes dumb then because like, well, why don't you pick something that you will actually do?
Yeah.
You know, so I try to pick a New Year's resolution that I don't just intend to like do for a short period of time, but it's like, no, this is going to be something I am going to incorporate into my life forever.
I'm going to build a habit.
Yeah.
And
like this is something I need to do. And I just, even if it's small, small things are probably better.
Yeah.
Because you're more likely to actually do them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you can, you know, do over the next 20 years, if you can firmly incorporate 20 small profitable habits,
mm-hmm.
think about how much better you, because those little habits, they tend to bleed over into other things.
Of course
right?
they do.
You know, you start running and all of a sudden you like want to eat healthy. You know, because you're running, you know, there's just good habits breed good habits, bad habits breed bad habits.
That's right. And really, so I actually was not planning, my intent was not to have this type of topic for today.
Yeah.
I was reading some of the Summa earlier this week, or actually last week, the first part of the second part, where St. Thomas Aquinas talks about the end of man and what is
the
end of
man. Dude,
I don't
know if anybody has ever read the first part of the second part.
I think they have, yeah. I definitely think
so.
Are
you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. The first question and the second question talks about the like what the end of man is, and then obviously what happiness is, because that's what the end of man is. The beatitude, being in the beatific vision of God.
Yeah.
And so I was reading through that, which I highly recommend if you are looking for a way to reflect upon what you should incorporate into 2026, to read these two parts. It's very short. It's not long. It's not like a laborious read. And how you should read it, in my opinion, is you read the first, you read like what his question is, and then you jump down to how he replies to the question. And you read that,
mm-hmm.
and then you read the first objection and his answer. The second objection,
right? That's what
and
I like. That's what I like to do. Because otherwise, you read all the objections, and then you come to the replies, and you have to go back and read the objection again anyway, because
right.
you're trying to remember. Wait, now what's he replying to?
Right. And so, really, what he's doing is he's just ordering. You know, Aquinas is all about, you know, if you have an ordered life, you have a disciplined life, you have a life worth living, really. And you have a peaceful life, because peace is the tranquility of order. So he
freedom begins with order.
Freedom begins with order. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. In fact, Sertia Lange says that.
He's always
The Intellectual Life.
He's always quoting
which is
me.
A book that you should all read. I highly, highly, highly recommend the book. It's not, it's a little bit of a difficult read, but it is well worth your time. And we'll probably be pulling some of that, some of his work, in tonight's topic as well. But, while I was reading it, and it was because of the time of year, I was kind of looking back on this last year. And I also just realized just how quick life is going.
Yeah, dude.
And how, you know, the last 10 years has been just so fast.
Yeah, dude. I know. I remember
when we started the show, you know, how quick.
I remember just the other day turning 33 and making the joke that if this isn't the year where I achieve perfect virtue, I probably never will in this life.
And here
you
are.
I feel like that was like just the other day. And now you're going to be 40 at your next birthday.
That's right. And so are you.
Oh, that's true. I guess I am.
Yeah. And I also find that there's so many men our age and, you know, even a little older who have come to the conclusion that the last 10 or 15 years, they've just been stuck in this rut. They haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't feel like they've accomplished anything. They don't feel like that they have moved in the right direction because of whatever their life circumstances are, that they look back and they're like, yeah, I don't have a lot to say that I've like moved the needle in my spiritual life, in my vocational life, in my business life, in my community. Like there's just not a lot that I can like hang my hat on, so to speak, you know, in the last 10 years.
Sure.
And how quick, just how fast life is going. And as we get older, clearly life moves even faster.
It does. It accelerates.
And
I'm going to write an autobiography someday about my life, and I'm going to just call it The Blur. The Blur.
I'm going to write a book on how to manage, and it's going to be called How I Managed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. So anyway, so I was reading about this, and it just made me think about how easy it is in life to exist and how hard it is in life to live as Christ is calling us to live. And those little 5 seconds that you have to interact with people,
right,
those little moments of grace that the Lord constantly gives us, and how we can easily throw away these gifts. And so actually Aquinas, what he does is he starts out by saying, okay, if man is, if his end is happiness, what is it that men typically thrive towards that don't end in happiness, that don't fulfill true happiness, true beatitude? And we know that true beatitude, true happiness is in the beatific vision. And so we can't have like a perfect happiness in this life, but we can have an imperfect happiness in this life. And the more that we are ordered towards the goal, the end of living with him forever in the next life, in this life, it prepares us.
Right.
And we live in which where the Lord has called us to live. So I want to go through a couple things that Aquinas talks about that we should not order ourselves towards that won't give us true happiness, so that way we can have a good resolution for 2026.
We'll be right back.
So one of the first things that he talks about, which I find interesting because this is not how I would see the world today. Now, he's writing this, you know, back in the 1500s, so it may be a little bit different.
Maybe, but often I am always surprised at how similar the world seems when you hear about, like, oh, these monks in the 1500s writing about the problems of modern living, how people are caught up in society and wealth.
Distraction.
And pleasure, and it's like, wait, that sounds exactly in the hustle and bustle of life, you know, it's like,
right.
It's exactly, it sounds like you're writing about today, you know?
Right.
Just how much, even though things are so much different, people aren't.
Yeah. So he talks about how actually most resolutions, and he didn't say resolutions, but most goals are like the ends in which we're trying to achieve.
Is probably, firm amendment, maybe.
Is it fail not because of a lack of discipline.
Discipline,
thank you. But because they're ordered towards the wrong good.
Ah. Ha-ha!
So what, to me, that's very interesting, right? Because like I would say, like, well, it's just because we're not disciplined. Like we have a goal and we're not disciplined enough to see the goal to the end.
He's got to use examples. He's an example guy. Does he have an example?
Yeah. So he has several examples. So he goes through that systematically that happiness is not consistent in wealth, honor, fame, power, or pleasure.
Definitely not.
But I think as we go through these, even if you say that wealth, honor, fame, power, pleasure—if one of those five are not what you struggle with, like let's just say hypothetically, you're
because there are some on there that I'm sure you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least on the surface, I think that if we actually walk through each one of these and
you do struggle with all of them at some level,
Struggle with all of them in some way, shape, or form.
But you know. Certainly one of them is going to be more critical for you than others.
And others are not as blatantly obvious, but yet you still do.
Because all of those things bleed into each other in the end.
Yeah.
All vice finds a common root, just like all virtue.
Yeah. So he talks about how, he wants to rule these things out. Because this is kind of how Aquinas does. He says here's what we're trying to do. Let's rule out everything that's not getting us to this end.
Yeah.
And so we'll go. We'll start with wealth, and it says he talks about it's impossible for man's happiness to consist in wealth. Wealth is ordered towards something else, and its final end must be desired for its own sake. So the desire for God is for his own sake, and that wealth is a means. Not an end.
I think secular people would, I mean, everybody would have to agree with that. To have more money, just for the sake of having more money, because there are people who want more money just to have more money, but at the end of the day, they really think that they feel like money is security. They want more money because it either gives them more power, because they feel that it gives them more security, it gives them more influence, it gives them the ability to buy more, right?
It's a means.
Nobody actually thinks money is good for its own sake.
Actually, I think there are a lot of people who think that at the very beginning, before they have money.
But really,
they have money, they think, if I just had another $100,000.
But they would say, that way I could... If I had another 100, then I could, you know, fill in the blank. So it's not even for those people, it's not the money. It's always the...
But they frame it as, I would be, like, my life would be so much better and so much happier if I just
It'd be
easier if I had this. And so we should caveat that, or like make sure we say, like, you know, business goals are good. Striving to do good, is a good thing, right? And so, like the virtue of magnanimity is the desire to do great things, to have a greatness of soul, and so those things are good, but making money as its final end is completely irrational.
Correct.
Because it's a finite thing, and we're trying to have we're trying to fill it with a finite thing with an infinite thing.
Yeah. I mean, imagine like earning money in a currency that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you're just making money for money. That, I mean, if you're just making money for money, you might as well be earning, like working for money, a currency that is of zero value.
Right.
If just for its own sake, then that would be ridiculous.
But so to be successful in the business world, to strive to make money should be the thought process, I think, should be, if I achieve this, what good can I do for my family, for my community, for the church, for those around me? What, if I'm given this gift, what gifts can I give back to others?
Sure.
And Sartre-Lange actually even talks about this in Intellectual Life. He says, man who seeks his rest in exterior things will never possess himself.
Mm. Mm. I like it. That reminds me of C.S. Lewis in The Magician's Nephew, which is one of the least popular of the Narnia series, but I really love it. Aslan, it goes back to the beginning of Narnia. Aslan sings Narnia into creation. He creates all the animals. And then he says to the animals, "Animals, I give you..." This is the first gift of Aslan. He says, "Animals, I give you yourselves." Right, that the personhood of...
The gift of being.
That their being and their personhood, right? He doesn't give the trees to themselves. Mm. He doesn't give the rivers to themselves. But the person, the animals who are in Narnia are persons, rational intellects, they are their own gift to themselves. It's very beautiful.
Yeah,
it's very similar here.
So the next one is honor or fame, and he talks about how happiness cannot consist in honor because honor depends on others.
Mm.
And happiness must be stable and interior.
Mm.
So maybe to go back to our conversation with Mary earlier, it's like, how she reflects according to everybody else has nothing to do with how you relate to me or how like your reaction to me.
Yeah.
I'm not dependent on you for my happiness.
Right. Christ had no honor at the end.
No.
Completely stripped of all of it.
And this is incredibly hard, right? Because like, listen.
Because I want to be honored.
Right.
I think especially as men, this is something that we desire. I think men have an innate desire to be honored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that in fact, this I think is one of the dynamics in marriage that...
Yeah, men want to be respected and honored.
That as a man, I think, the way I can care for my wife is caring, like loving her, protecting her, serving her.
Mm-hmm.
But I want her to honor me.
Right.
I don't need her to serve me in the same ways. I mean, she does, but it's totally different. But really what I want is for her
to respect and honor.
Honor me, yeah. Right? It, like, that's something that I just have an innate... when she does, and Pamela does this, Lady Pamela just incredibly does it very well, like, I feel...
Right.
Yeah, I feel it makes me feel really great.
But
my happiness can't reside in this, which is the point.
And you can see where you can blur the lines here of that desire, and then also like, oh, I want other people to kind of look up to me.
Yeah.
I want to be a disciple. And what does it mean to be a disciple? Means you have people you are discipling to people, meaning people are looking. You are the teacher to other people.
Yeah.
And you can see where the lines get blurred by, if I do this, how many likes do I get? How many shares am I getting?
Totally.
And how many download numbers are we getting? And what mm-hmm. platforms are we on? And who are we talking to? And who are we being invited to the next men's conference or to be on this person's show? Or, it's so easy to put your self-identity into that aspect.
Yeah.
To that reputation.
Sure.
But Sartre Lange actually says, to live by the judgment of others is to abandon oneself.
Man, that also, that hits, bro.
Does it slap?
I went with hits.
Yeah.
This time.
Both violent words.
Yeah, but like, doesn't it?
It does.
It hits the mark.
Yeah. So honor... happiness cannot consist in honor because it depends on others.
You know what? I agree.
Yeah.
I've convinced you.
Yeah, good. Good, good. So happiness also cannot consist in power. Okay, so power is always instrumental and it cannot satisfy the intellect or the will, which I find interesting.
You think it could satisfy the will. I mean, right off the hand or off the cuff, it seems like, well... It would satisfy the will because you can exert your will. Because you have power, like your will gets what your will wants. You
right.
know?
But it doesn't actually satisfy because it's almost like that. It's a drug of choice.
Sure. And once again, it's a good oriented towards, or it's oriented towards the wrong good because now it's oriented towards your passions and not something transcendent.
Right. And even as if you're a business manager, you're a business owner or something like that, you can quickly blur these lines also of like that control is disguised as good leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and this is why I also like Simon Sinek. I don't know if you've ever read any of his books or heard of any of his talks, but he's really good on leadership and just business tactics. And he talks about, he actually has a book called Leaders Eat Last.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that book.
And so, but it's easy as men also to disguise power as leadership. And while leadership needs, like you have to have power in leadership.
Yeah.
But power is a means to an
end. It's always, you're given authority. Authority is granted to a person for the sake of those they govern.
Right.
Not for the sake of the governor.
That's right. So when we get back, we're going to talk about the last one, which was pleasure. And then we'll actually talk about happiness.
Sweet. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. If you haven't yet subscribed to our podcast and you're listening to us on the radio, make sure to go and do that. We always try to wrap up key parts of our conversation after the radio broadcast is over, which...
The good stuff is at the end.
I mean, we don't actually try to do it that way, but that is, in fact, what happens approximately 93% of the time.
Okay. So we're talking about what happiness cannot do. Wealth, honor, fame, power, pleasure. And so the next one is pleasure is, and I think it's important to say like pleasure is real. Like we're not stoics.
Certainly.
You know, yeah. that it is not a bad thing mm-hmm. to enjoy pleasure. But pleasure is inadequate for happiness.
Right.
For true happiness. So Aquinas says, it's impossible for man's happiness to consist in bodily pleasures, because pleasures perfects an act, but it cannot be the end of the act. So pleasure is good, but it's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure is a companion, not a guide.
Mm, that's a good way to put it. I like that. Did you write that?
No, that was also Tarty Lunch.
Man.
That guy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just want to make sure that we understand that, you know, pleasure is a good thing, and the Lord gave us the gifts of our senses so that we can, so it can be a little sliver into eternal pleasure, eternal happiness mm-hmm. with Him forever in heaven.
We have our senses, we can know the good.
Right.
Because we acquire knowledge through the senses. It's the way we come to know things, the way we experience them, and He wants them to be pleasurable. The good is and ought to be pleasurable.
Right.
And so, like you said, that's why we're not Stoics.
Right.
Because to reject pleasure is, in fact, to reject the good. Right?
Which is transcendental.
Yeah, which we don't want to reject.
Right.
We just want to make sure we're ordering these things for the sake of our happiness. Ordering...
And in the right order.
Yes. Order has a hierarchy of all things. Like, obviously, you can't... If you get them backwards, well, now it's disordered.
Right.
Even if you're pursuing them what you think for the right reasons, but if you're doing it in the wrong way.
That's right.
You still got problems. It's easy to have problems. I got problems.
So here's the positive claim that happiness, what happiness actually is. And so Aquinas says, the final and perfect happiness consists in nothing else than the vision of the divine essence, which is beautiful. The imperfect happiness can be had in this life, but we cannot fully attain happiness here, but we can order our lives towards it.
Indeed.
Right? And so God alone satisfies the will of man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that should be the end goal, whether it be in whether it be for a spiritual life, because it's very easy to get into the habit of like, look how much I'm praying or look how much I'm doing. Like this whole notion of like, I'm working for my salvation, that I'm doing all these things so that I can be loved. whether it be in the order of your vocation, that I'm, look at all this hard work that I'm doing so that I can be a good husband or father. But that's, while work is involved, but that's not like your, like, that's not what the essence of being a father or husband is.
Yeah, I mean, and you can even get disordered with that. You know, trying to be a good father can even have a disordered place in your life.
Yeah, because you want to be either known as a good father, you want, like...
Or even if you're just, like, honestly trying to be a good father, but you do it to the sacrifice of being a son of the father. Like, first, your priority is knowing and loving the Lord, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. First, you be the Christian, you be a good, faithful Christian. Second, you love and serve your wife. Third, you be the best father you can. But it's so easy, and even our culture is like, oh, my kids are my life. Kids are the most important thing that ever happened, you know, that I have. It's like, well,
that's disordered.
It is tech, you know, and it's like, do they actually mean that or not, you know? But it on its face is a disordered thing to say, because honestly, your spouse comes before your children.
Right. So when we're thinking about either resolutions or things in which we can do better for 2026, there's a hierarchy of goods, like we've kind of hinted at, mm-hmm, and this is what Aquinas talks about. There's kind of like a hierarchy of goals, and that's in the contemplative life, in your vocational life, in your community life, and there's different aspects of that, and each one holds a different weight. So if you're getting typical of life, so when we're considering resolutions for 2026, this one should be the most important one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that we should focus on the most, because this is what Aquinas is all about, you know, the arena of charity, you know, like how do we grow in charity and beatitude? And that is through the contemplative life, that man's happiness consists in the contemplation of truth. Is mm-hmm, what he says. And so the intellect's highest act is contemplation. God is truth itself. And so that the more that we live in accord with reality and contemplate on the truths of reality, the closer that we grow towards the beatific vision.
Sure.
So one of our main goals should be the, you know, union with God and the receptivity and not just activity,
mm-hmm,
which is something that I mentioned in a few episodes back, that one of the holy priests here in the diocese of Tulsa in Eastern Oklahoma, I was discussing some of my frustrations that I had, and he stopped me and he said, the Lord doesn't need you to do anything. Don't do things for God. Do things with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that we could really focus on in 2026 is the attitude of not necessarily like doing things for God, but doing them, like, what is God calling us to? And how can I enter into those things with our Lord?
Yes.
Which is a totally different mind frame.
I mean, if you stop and think about the order of creation and just the way things are, it certainly seems like God wants to co with everything, right? God is the author of life. He alone creates life. Yet, he wants us to co-create. He doesn't do it without our help,
mm-hmm,
right? Even your salvation. He alone is your savior. Yet, he won't save you without your help,
mm-hmm,
right? So, we are just, everything he does, he makes us co-workers in the way he works in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's through us and with us. It's very, I mean, sure, there are some examples of like divine intervention in people's lives. Those are very rare.
Right.
You know, and they're incredible moments. But generally speaking, he wants us to be there with him,
mm-hmm,
when we do it. So like, yeah, that's a good attitude about doing things with God. You know, I think that's one of those subtle changes you can make that really does shift some of the way you're thinking about what you ought to do,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's prideful to think, that's the problem. Like, oh, I did so much for the Lord today.
Right.
you're welcome, God.
Yeah.
Really wouldn't have
been. I don't know how you really do all of this without me.
I really, that exactly. Yeah. Like, you're never going to get this kingdom built without right. my help.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's a good shift. Do you have resolutions for this next year?
Yeah. So as I was reflecting on tonight's topic, and I was thinking, okay, this is what I was going to do personally, right? Is I was thinking about a goal that I should have spiritually, a goal that I need to have in my vocational life, in my marriage, in fatherhood, and then like I was also developing business goals for 2026, and then also like in my community, like what am I going to do there? And really, for my spiritual life, this next year, I'm. This is not a big shift, but I want to spend a few more minutes every day in contemplate, like allow myself to have a few more minutes of silence. I need it,
mm-hmm.
And I've let a lot of that slip throughout this year. Where I've just allowed work or
excuses,
business
yeah.
excuses to allow my prayer. Like, I still pray every day, and like, I still
sure.
like, but I haven't guarded my time of silence
yeah.
well enough. I have not been a good steward of that time, and allowed other things to creep into that time. And so I really want.
I think everybody can be on board. I mean, I want to improve my prayer life too. I'm a little bit taking
well, I think
a
everybody.
Approach,
I think if you took a poll, I think if you took a poll and you asked everybody who's listening right now, like, do you want to improve your prayer life?
Hopefully,
everybody would be like, yes, I want to improve
yes,
my prayer
yeah.
life. And then the next question is, how are you going to do that?
I don't know.
I have no idea. And so, like, I want to dedicate 5 minutes
extra mm-hmm.
in silent prayer this year.
See, I think that's a great, because boom, you're going to do that 5 minutes, and that's just going to become the standard for you. Right.
Right.
Obviously, my biggest resolution for 2026 is six-pack abs. I feel like this is the year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything about it. Just
39 years, haven't had it yet.
But I feel like it's going to happen this year.
Levitating from 4 feet to 5 feet this year. I really want to get that extra foot.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be
so much more impressive.
When you're
at 5 feet,
when your feet are dangling like
yeah.
almost at eye level,
yeah,
of other people.
This is the Catholic Man Show. Adam Minahan and David Niles. We got a few more things we want to say after the break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. But like seriously, I do think the six-pack ab story. I have a story behind this because I think it actually relates to a lot of New Year's resolutions. We were out to dinner, lunch, you were there, and one of our buddies was mentioning, as we were talking about kind of getting older,
mm-hmm.
not that we are, because we're not. We definitely aren't. But
we are.
But yeah. We were talking about that.
Right.
Some of the other guys are getting older.
Yeah.
And
we have friends who are like almost 50.
Dude, we do have a friend who's
yeah.
50.
Yeah.
Chris, looking at you, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wiffle ball king.
Yeah. Grandpa.
I mean, for how much longer though? I don't know. Dude, they just had a kid.
I know.
He's not a grandpa. Anyway, we're out of lunch, and one of our friends was like kind of sharing. He had a revelation. You know that. Well, I guess I'm just never gonna have a six pack. And now he's like, I just kind of thought like someday that would happen. And as he said that, I was like, yeah, me too. I have always kind of like, maybe someday I'll have one. I'll, you know, like,
I'll work. And
someday I'll get it together and I'll definitely do that. Because that'd be cool to have a sweet six pack for like once before you die. You
yeah,
know?
I think it would be.
And, but, so I kind of thought about that and, I think that is kind of the way a lot of New Year's resolutions go. You make these resolutions and kind of expect them to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, I don't know, that's what I said. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it'll happen, you know? And a lot of them are outside of, like, first of all, it's not practical.
I also think this goes back to the conversation of how quick time goes, and that we always think of, well, someday I'll get my life together. Someday I'll have a better spiritual life. Someday yeah. I'll be a better husband. Someday I'll be a better father.
And then you find yourself on your deathbed.
Yeah.
And thinking like, oh, someday
is gone. No longer.
Yeah, like, yeah. Too late.
Which is real.
Totally. Because you might find yourself, you know, at 80, in your 80s on your deathbed, like having said someday, you might find yourself there sooner, you know? Mm-hmm. You might not have someday.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was just kidding about the six pack. If I did get a six pack this year, that would be very cool. Probably end up with another kid, which would be cool too, but whatever. but I want to, they're like some change. I need more discipline in a couple areas of my life that just I'm not happy with. That, you know, so it's like I just struggle too much here. And it's areas where sometimes I feel like I've gone backwards, you know, and I don't think it's just me having more awareness of them. I think I'm just going backwards. So anyway, I started going to a spiritual director here recently. So that's one of the things I really want to have him work, you know,
beat into
get,
you.
Yeah. Get some good guidance there as,
which is totally the wrong way to think of spiritual direction, but.
What is?
Just going to beat it into me.
Oh yeah. Whatever it takes, bro. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But ultimately all of those things I'm orienting and thinking about in service to my prayer life.
Yes.
You know, yes. Just because wasn't in the right spot.
Wait,
I move the bottle, you move it over here.
Well, I don't want you to move it towards the edge. My dad instincts are like, this is going to fall. It's going to get knocked over.
I got you. But yeah, so I'm kind of the same mind of you. When I think about resolutions, what do I need to improve? My very first thought always goes to my prayer life, because to me that's where everything else starts. You mm-hmm. know, if I don't have a good prayer life, then I don't know why I would expect my. You actually can have a good successful business career without a prayer life. You can do that, but not one that's oriented in the way that I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a successful business career. I want a virtuous business career. Right, I want a business career that was I worked hard because this is the work that the Lord gave me, and I want to be that good coworker with Him. Right, where mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. if this is the work He's given me to do, then I want to do it well for His sake.
Right,
you know, not just to be successful, but because I want His work to be done well.
Right,
you know. That kind of thing. And that starts with a prayer life. You can have a successful business career. You can get rich. You can make money. You can get promotions without a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the business career that I want.
Right. Okay, so there's three things I think that are good filters, so to speak, when you're thinking about what are things that I should do for New Year's resolutions.
Uh-huh.
And these are pulled basically from Aquinas. I mean, this is Aquinas' thought. But here's the three. Is it ordered towards the highest good? Does this support my vocation? And does it treat lesser goods as means?
Yeah. The second one is, that's the one I lean into all the time with people, because I think it's real easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the other two are hard to understand, but they're not as easy to just immediately put into practical terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, or maybe we're just not used to thinking about things in that way. But does this serve my vocation? That is something that I think everybody gets. And I get a lot of relief, especially when you're trying to make decisions. And discernment can be really hard sometimes. You're like trying to choose between two good things.
Right.
Discernment is never between a good and an evil. That's just called moral decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's just called willpower or grace. You know, that's not discernment. You know, should I kill the guy or help him out? You know, but when you're trying to choose between two goods, that is when things get really hard. And it can be helpful to think about what is my vocation, because sometimes we get, it's easy to get kind of wrapped around the axle about what's God's will for my life? Mm-hmm. You know, what does he want me to do? If he would just tell me.
Right.
And then it's like, well, you know, he's actually already told you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He made you a husband.
Mm-hmm.
He made you a priest. Boom. That is like 99.9% of all the answers to the things that you ought to be doing. Okay. And so putting everything you do through that filter of the vocation,
mm-hmm.
right? Why are you working? It's to support a family.
Right.
You know, that's one of the reasons. It's not the only reason, but that is a primary reason why you're working.
Right.
You know, it's not just volunteer.
Yeah.
And so what were the others again? Say one more time.
Is it ordered towards the highest good?
Okay.
Hierarchy of goods.
Yeah.
Right. Does it support my vocation? And does it treat lesser goods as means,
mm-hmm.
not the end?
I think the last one is where people go wrong a lot.
It's tough.
Because in the culture, you just get culture. The culture does things, and culture, we don't have necessarily a Christian culture.
Right.
It's we have Christian memories in our culture, is kind of the way I would say it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we don't, we get that wrong all the time. It's just like the ends don't justify the means.
Right.
It's very similar about lesser goods.
Again, it goes back to like we were putting power, fame, wealth, honor.
Which all are good things.
Right.
But all of those are good things.
But it's a means.
Right. But they shouldn't be the
goal.
Right.
Because ultimately our goal is beatitude,
mm-hmm.
not optimization. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
It's beatitude, not optimization. That beatitude is something that we make. It's beatitude is not something we make, but something that we receive.
Do you have a definition for beatitude? Because I think that can get confusing.
Happiness.
Yeah, it's happiness. But like a supernatural happiness. Yeah.
Happiness not in what we consider like the secular understanding of what happiness is.
Yeah. That deep happiness satisfying
is not ordered towards external. It's not externals.
Mm-hmm.
It is an interior happiness that it can only be found in God.
Yeah.
Again, it is not something that we make. We don't make happiness. We receive it.
Yeah.
From the Creator, from the Giver.
The Giver of all goodness.
Yeah. So the last thing, so the problem with New Year's resolutions isn't that we aim too high, it's that we aim too low.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we don't focus on the highest goods.
Yeah.
Is that we think that we have a disorder of the lower goods being the top priority.
Absolutely.
And so when we're thinking about 2026, when we're thinking about just our life that is quickly ending, that what is it that God is calling me to do today?
Yeah. The only thing I want to say, do you have anything else on this?
Because
I kind of want to jump back to something in the very beginning.
Yeah, let's do
about
it.
Life going by
so fast.
I just wanted to offer a suggestion, because this happens to me, happens to everybody. It really is a blur. Gratitude is something that grounds you in the present. That remembering to be thankful for things, having the habit of gratitude,
mm-hmm.
something, you know, it's like hopefully that's part of your prayer life, is having at least a few moments of just reflection, recognition of all of the things that you have that you've forgotten to ever thank him for, right? Right.
Yeah.
To me, that has a way of like really putting the brakes on the speed of life, and puts me in the present.
Mm-hmm.
In this moment, I am mm-hmm. thankful for these things, you mm-hmm. know, as opposed to so often, you know, even in my prayer, when I get distracted, I'm thinking about what I have to do today, you know, things that are yet to come. You know, I'm constantly looking forward instead of just resting, which, you know, hopefully when you're in moments of prayer that you should be really resting in that moment
mm-hmm. with him.
I mean, it's okay to talk about things of your day. That's okay. But you should be in that moment, because I just get so distracted about the things that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having a conversation with myself at that point, right? So gratitude is something that always centers me in the now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It helps me slow things down. And if I can remember to be thankful throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
it helps with a lot of other things too. It's hard to be in a bad mood
right. When
you remember to be thankful.
Grateful for our wives, for our children, for our vocations.
Indeed.
For all the many blessings that we've had.
Cheers.